Hello again. InfoSec and Cyborg Hacks are here to help you pass the CISSP exam. Today's hack is part two, so I encourage you to go back and also listen to part one of Steve Spearman's CISSP exam tips and tricks. In part two, I pass the mic to Steve, and he gives you his top five test-taking strategies for the CISSP. What is the Sesame Street rule? How does CISSP feel about absolutes? Keep it here, and you'll find out all that and more on today's part two of this week's Cyborg Hack. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Cyborg Hacks. The purpose of this spinoff of our popular Cyborg podcast is to take a single fundamental question and give you a quick, clear, and actionable solution or a new insight into how to utilize InfoSec products and training to achieve your work and career goals. So this is part two of a hack that was appeared on your feed probably just before this one here. I've been talking with Steve Spearman about his tips and tricks for taking the CISSP exam. If you haven't listened to part one yet, please do so. We talk about why the CISSP is such a challenging exam to take, what are some of the most common mistakes that people make either leading up to the exam or on the day, things to do if you pass, things to do if you fail. But Steve, let me know at the end of that he has lots more advice for you on taking the CISSP and more tips and tricks in the moment. So I'm just going to kind of give this over to Steve Spearman and say, Steve, could you give us some of more of your tips and tricks for taking the CISSP?
Love to. Absolutely. So in part one, we covered two of the tips, which are take your time. Most important. Second is get in the habit of eliminating wrong answers as you're taking the exam. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is look for absolutes. This exam does not like absolutes unless it's asking for a negative. So let me give you an example. Please. Let's say you have a question. It says, Sally is the new CISO for ABC Corporation. In her role, what should she focus on? And C, the answer C says eliminating all risk. So words like all, always, never, only, things are absolutes. This exam does not like absolutes. You cannot eliminate all risk. So C is not the answer. Okay, reshift your focus now. What if it says which one of the following should not be a priority for Sally as the new CISO? And C says, eliminate all risk. Can you see how in that context, C is correct? It is not something that she should focus on. It's not possible for her to eliminate all risk. So look for absolutes. This exam does not like absolutes. Look for only, must, always, never. You know, you've heard the whole marriage. You always, you never, the marriage counseling thing. Yep. You always, you never. It's like this exam doesn't like those things either. Marriage counselors don't like it. The ISC2 doesn't like it. Okay. So look for absolutes. Doesn't like it unless it's asking for a negative. So the other thing too is I would say what I call the Sesame Street principle. That is that if you have a question that has, you know, where three of the four are kind of categorically the same, but one is different, the Sesame Street principle is from the old thing is that which one of the following is not like the others?
Mm-hmm.
Sesame Street. So let me give you an example. You know, a question, we won't even say what the question is. It's yada, 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 blah, 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 question mark. And it says something like, here are the following answers. A, EIGRP, B, OSPF, C, DNS, and D, RIP. Okay. Now, those are all sort of technical terms. You may or may not be familiar with them, but the thing to note is A, B, and D are all routing protocols. They're all routing protocols. You would become familiar with those during the boot camp. But the point being is that the answer is most likely DNS. It's the one thing that's not a routing protocol. Mm-hmm. Very useful trick to sort of think about. If you have answers that are categorically the same, most likely they are not the answer. Look for the thing that's not like the others. It's called the Sesame Street rule.
Yeah.
The last thing is what I call doing the algebra. And this is actually attending to boot camp. We'd actually practice this in a lot of different ways, but it contains within. I'm not a math person. But it's like I do remember this from my algebra days. If you have an algebraic equation that has the same integer on each side of the equals mark, Chris, do you remember? You remember what you can do with those things?
You can eliminate them, right?
You can mark through them. They have no relevance on the thing. So what you'll find is some categories of questions that reuse sort of the same thing in like a list, for example. You know, it might say, what are the things that what are some ways that, encryption can be used? It might list, confidentiality, non-repudiation, blah, blah, blah. But it might have confidentiality in all four of the answers. Well, it doesn't have any relevance to the answer. And this idea is something, there are different ways that it can help you break down questions really quickly. So it's like learning, and it's something you can practice. Again, in boot camp, we actually get more into like understanding this principle, but it really does manifest itself in just being aware that if something is in all the answers, it doesn't have any relevance. It can help you quickly break down question to the components within the answers that are going to impact, whether it's right or wrong. And then lastly is what we call the golden words. The golden words are words that, 75-80% of the time if they're in one of the answers, it's likely the right answer. Remember, this is a management exam. So this is words like business or organization or whatever. So business strategy, business goals, business objectives, business risk, basically business anything, good chance it's the answer. Risk. Risk is a concept we really dig into. This is a risk management exam. Yep. And it's the highest, it's kind of the highest order thing that we care about. Do we care about threats? Sure. Do we like vulnerabilities? Absolutely. But mostly we care about those things because they tell us what our risks are. So if you see a question where it says threat management or risk management, the answer is risk management. Mm-hmm. We care about threats, but mostly because they inform us about what our risks are. I give a nice succinct definition of risk in the boot camp. So risk is related to threats and vulnerabilities, and that's the highest order thing that we care about. Change management is often the answer. It's even more so than the others that we talk about. It's like if it's the only answer in a question, there's a really like 90% chance that it's the answer. So
can you break down the idea of change management a little bit?
Well, change management, of course, is the concept that when we're undergoing some change, it's often referred to as software development, but any context, we want to make a change to policy, things like that, you mm-hmm. want to use change management procedures.
Got it.
It's often these are initiated in a ticketing system with a change request ticket, et cetera. And then you just manage it, document the changes, all that sort of stuff.
Just run in willy-nilly, yeah.
Yes, yes. Right. Classification and categorization, slightly different concepts, but very similar concepts. I won't get into it now, but you classify documents. Is it secret? Is it top secret? And then you associate a baseline with that. Like, what is the protections you want for that? So documentation is also a golden word. It's used when we're talking about software development as well as compliance. We have to document our compliance. Accountability tied to responsibility. By the way, in this exam, if it says senior management is accountable or senior management support, it is so likely going to be the answer. It's like you have to have senior management support.
Yep.
And then lastly, impact, which I would also add likelihood and impact are combined together as concepts to determine the level of risk. So if something is very likely to happen, and if it happens, it's really bad, like ransomware, 85 to 90% of healthcare organizations is an example of experienced a ransomware attack. Likely to happen, if it happens and it's successful, it's a bad day. So it's like we use impact and likelihood to rank. We have to care about the impact. And then lastly, there are going to be some words where we can kind of questions where we can match terms in the question. to something that's, you know, in the thing. So we can just look for, you know, if it talks about enforcement in the question, you know, it might say, it might use the word enforce in the answer, and that kind of helps clue you into that. So those tips together, if you combine that with take your time, eliminate wrong answers, they'll give you, and you practice, you got to practice all these ideas. They can really help you a lot in terms of taking this exam.
Fantastic. I think that's going to really, I think this is going to be, people are going to be rewinding and taking notes on this one. I think this is going to really help people with the exam, you know, and just to editorialize a little bit, I think it's worth remembering that, you know, like you said, as much as we like, I think as cybersecurity people, we like being involved with dealing with vulnerabilities, dealing with breaches and so forth. But the CISSP is ultimately for people who are going to be the decision makers of the company. So of course you're going to talk about risk. Of course you're going to talk about management buy-in. So you have to be sort of also thinking like the manager that you are hoping to be, or the CISO that you're hoping to be ultimately, this is, you know, I would imagine that some of the technical stuff is almost kind of sort of like a shiny bauble that you have to kind of
You have to be careful of things. It's very tempting to say if a scenario, let's say they spells out a scenario and let's say one of the answers is MFA, and let's say it's correct. It could actually be a true solution, but one of the answers deal with some management or governance concerns like policy.
Yep.
That's almost definitely the answer. It's not that we don't care about technical solutions, but this is a management exam. So we have to think about it at that level. And in some, so you have to think, you don't ask yourself, what would you do at your work or your job in your, you have to think like a manager, understand, you know, what, how can we manage, you know, these
you risks. Have to, you're not just taking the exam, you're growing into your next position. Ultimately, you're thinking in terms of the person above you. That's exciting. All right. Well, I'm going to leave it at that. So Steve Spearman, thank you so much for talking us further through the CISSP. This was absolutely invaluable. I really appreciate it.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
And thank you all for watching this episode. Again, check out part one as well. You're going to get a very good overview of the CISSP, and it's going to take a lot of fear out for you. If you enjoyed this video and felt that it helped you, please share it with your colleagues on your forums of choice, social media accounts, whatever you want to do. And definitely subscribe to our feed on your podcast catcher of choice or our YouTube page. You can type in CyberWork InfoSec into any of them, and it'll get you there lickety split. There's plenty more to come. And if you have any topics you want us to cover, just drop them in the comments below. But I'll leave it at that for now. Until next time, happy learning. Thanks again. How about some free cybersecurity training resources for you and your team? Just go to infosecinstitute.com/free to get eBooks, training guides, and more than 100 cybersecurity training courses. All free for CyberWork listeners. Go to infosecinstitute.com/free and start learning crucial new skills today.